Welcome back to TechNet Radio. In today's Community Corner, John Weston interviews Microsoft Virtualization MVP, Anil Desai, to the show. Tune in as they discuss cloud computing's impact to IT, System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012, as well as the relationship between virtualization and private cloud solutions. John, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of TechNet Radio Community Corner. I'm John Weston, and Community Corner is all about technology and the IT pro community throughout the United States here. Today, my guest, I've got Anil Desai. Anil, welcome.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me here.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, and I know you're from Austin, but tell us, everybody on the radio here, what you do for a living.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm an independent consultant, IT consultant, obviously. I'm based in Austin, and I kind of do a wide variety of different things. I'll just give you the high level to not take up all our time with that. But on the technology side, I do a lot of work related to virtualization. Lately, that's been a lot of writing and speaking on topics related to virtualization. But I also do a lot of application development, so I'm also a .NET and SQL Server guy as well.
Wow, lots of things. That's great. So I understand you're an MVP. Tell us what product your award is in and how many years you've been an MVP.
Yeah, sure. So I think it's been 7 years now.
Wow.
Currently, yeah, it's a long time. I was just trying to figure it out myself. Right now it's in Windows Server Virtualization. Actually, I think it's called Virtual Machine, but basically it deals with Hyper-V, System Center, those technologies.
Gotcha. Cool. So why do you spend so much? I mean, obviously you're in the business of selling your time as an independent consultant, but why do you spend so much time helping the community out?
Yeah, it was never, it was never like a conscious idea to begin with. I've always enjoyed, ever since, I was in college and earlier, I always enjoyed teaching and I did volunteer like SAT classes and stuff like that. And I found it to be really rewarding. For me, it was just like a fun thing to do. And so when I found out about some new technology, I started out way back in, I think, 1996, VPNs. Nobody had any idea what they were. Nobody knew why you'd want one or anything. And I was like, with Windows NT Server 4, people need to know about this stuff. Everyone can use it over dial-up or whatever they were doing at the time. So it really helped me be able to get that information out there, and it's good to know that people found that topic to be useful. And, I started from there. So as I learn new things, I like to share those with people and get some feedback and see that they can actually use it to make their jobs and their lives better. So it's just that's pretty much the reason I do it.
That's great. So I know MVPs help the community a number of different ways. Do you do offline stuff like user groups or the forums? Tell us how you engage with the community.
Yeah, definitely. So forums I'm not as active in. Really what I look at when I try to find out where to spend my time is where can I get kind of the most bang for the buck, so to speak? Like where can I get the biggest audience or maybe have the biggest impact? It's not necessarily anything that's going to pay me money or anything that's going to result in work, but I can reach the most people. So, I mean, I do a lot of stuff offline. That would be like speaking at local community events for like local conferences or at the Microsoft Technology Center and things like that. I do a lot of writing, so I've written lots of books, papers, articles. More recently, I'm doing a lot more online writing, so that would be anything from online webzines and posting on other people's blogs. And also writing for some of the other larger sites that get a lot more traffic than I do. But I also have a blog, and I think everybody can see my URL. It's just anildesai.net, and you guys are welcome to visit that as well.
That's great.
Did I answer your question? Yeah.
Yep, okay. No, that's good. So you do a lot of stuff online, everywhere from books and your blogging, particularly not necessarily much as the forums as some of the traditional MVPs do, but then obviously there's a whole offline community where you don't necessarily run a user group, but it sounds like you speak at a lot of them. Is it just there in the Austin area, or do you go all over the place?
Oh, I've been all over the place. Recently, I'd say I do maybe about a third of my stuff in the Austin area. There's a really good Austin.net users group, and there's a couple of annual events. One of them is Austin Code Camp, so those are great opportunities. Yeah, so I'm sure you're familiar with those. But yeah, I do lots of stuff. Yeah, all around the country, different conferences. There's usually four or five conferences a year. Slow down a little bit, I think, maybe because of the economy and just technology in general. But it's always something I enjoy doing.
Yeah, I'm up here in Dallas, but I love to get down to Austin whenever I can. And actually, I'm going to be there this week. We're doing a Microsoft TechNet first ever IT camp there in Austin. If you know, the first half of the day is going to be the traditional Microsoft TechNet event where we talk about Hyper-V, System Center, and all those kind of topics. But then in the afternoon, we're going to actually have people download some of the trial bits and get a chance to get their hands dirty with it. I'm looking forward to it.
No, that sounds great. I think that's what a lot of people want, especially when you're talking about a product like Hyper-V, where not everybody has an environment where they can just run it easily. They may not have hardware support and stuff like that. So being able to play with it is great.
Yep. Hope people bring big hard drives. These are some big things to download and be trying.
Yeah.
So, well, good. I'll look forward to that this week. So let's kind of talk a little bit about cloud-specific stuff. And I want to go around Hyper-V and getting ready for the cloud. So let's talk about you talked about how when VPNs first came out, you really jumped all over that. What are you doing today to get ready from your own career perspective about the cloud?
Yeah, so I mean, first and foremost, this is real technology. This isn't just, you know, marketing speak. I mean, there's obviously that stuff out there. There's a lot of marketing speak out there, but I think it's absolutely the strategic and technical direction that a lot of IT work is going to go in. So really, for me, I think as an independent consultant, I'm usually brought in to solve some type of business problem or technical problem. And so I think it's now more important than ever to just really make sure that what IT is doing is not done in a vacuum. It's done. That whatever solution we pick, whether it's locally installed stuff or looking cloud or hosted solutions, that it really fits on what the business wants to do, not from a technology because it's really cool standpoint, but from a technology because that's what the business needs. And so to me, it's underscored that a lot. I've tried to do that all along. And so people come in and they, you know, I tell them, let's not talk about which server you're going to run this on or what operating system you're going to use. Let's first figure out what type of solution you want and then figure out if the cloud makes sense there. Other than that, though, stuff I've been doing all along, I guess, keeping up to date on technology. Now it's more keeping up on date with up to date with service offerings, so like Windows Azure, hosted stuff like Windows Intune, Amazon, Google, all their different hosted offerings, just having some basic understanding of those. Reading case studies, that's actually really helpful, too, so being able to see what other people are really doing. Those are just starting to come out now, and it's hard to find ones that aren't just, you know, watered down by marketing, but
right.
You can find some out there. Yeah, you know the pain.
Absolutely.
And
you've read those white papers that are all fluff. You want the technical stuff.
Absolutely.
Give me the technical papers, yeah.
Absolutely. I want to see what doesn't work as much as what does, you know. So some of the – there's several websites that are better about those types of things. And also just, yeah, keeping up on general systems admin stuff. So whether it's HA, disaster recovery, or high availability, disaster recovery, SLAs, those types of things. So I guess more of the same, but more skewed towards the coordinating with business side and doing the, where the technologist at, finding the right solution after they define the problem.
Gotcha. Cool. So what would you recommend to people? And let me give you an example. I was visited a customer. I won't tell you their name because they would be embarrassed. A customer over in Fort Worth last week, and they're a pretty medium-sized customer. They probably have, you know, at least 1,000 desktops. And I went in their server room, and I started asking them questions like, are you using VMware or Hyper-V, you know, and that kind of stuff. And they wanted to ask me about the cloud, and they're not using any virtualization at all.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of floored. How do you get people that are, you know, traditional, probably 100 servers, you know, traditional IT, how in the world does a company like that get ready for the cloud?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, in a way, they might be, in some ways, they might be better positioned, especially if you're thinking about having new applications and deployments deployed in a public cloud type setting, because they don't have the existing investment in their local infrastructure, the data center infrastructure. It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, if you read IT magazines, you would think that, you know, you'd have to be crazy not to be doing everything virtually now. But I think the vast majority, especially small to mid-sized businesses, are only doing a portion of their data centers that are virtualized, and the rest is kind of business as usual.
Yep. And so, you know, obviously being from Microsoft, we want to talk to them about Hyper-V and that type of situation. Can you give us a little, and I assume you've worked a little bit with VMware, what comparison of why should people pick one or the other, or how does that affect their cloud decisions going forward?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's really a hot topic. It's hard to find any information about IT nowadays without seeing something about the battle between Microsoft and VMware and some of the other vendors that are in the space. Really, I think that what a lot of people predicted a couple of years ago has actually happened, which is that the actual hypervisor itself, and the hypervisor I'm referring to basically the layer that creates virtual machine environments. So nowadays that would be VMware's ESX and Microsoft's Hyper-V. You can also consider a variety of different client virtualization solutions in there, so things like Windows Virtual PC and those types of things. Now, if you're talking about those, really those have been, the phrase is used a lot, is commoditized. We take it for granted. It's something like an operating system feature, almost like a network stack. You don't expect to get an operating system that doesn't have a network stack, or nowadays even a browser or something like that. Really where I think the real key comes in is the management on top of it. So assuming that we're pretty much on feature parity, or certainly will be with the next version of Hyper-V, between VMware and Hyper-V, then it really comes down to, again, the business problem and how best to manage that. And I can drill down into that as much as you want.
Yeah. So and so our main product that Microsoft has that we manage those with is System Center Virtual Machine Manager, or we refer to it commonly as the short acronym SCVMM.
Even the acronym has a lot of syllables. Yeah, no, absolutely. And then the whole System Center family. So, yeah, I mean, for people who haven't seen any of the new features or some of the details on what's coming out in SCVMM 2012, I think it really takes people to that. The long-term goal for us is to not even think about servers anymore. We don't think about individual servers, but instead look at like a pool of capacity. So rather than finding an application and saying, okay, I'm going to deploy this over to server 1173, and that server is going to store its primary database on this shared storage solution, and I'm going to hook it up to a network switch here for backup and another VLAN for front-end access, something like that. Rather than that, it'd be great if I could just say, hey, I need to deploy this application. Mr. Data Center, you figure it out. You know, you figure out where that application should go on what server. It could be on Monday morning it runs on server one, on Tuesday afternoon it's running somewhere else, but I shouldn't have to care about that. And I think that's the long-term goal of what we're trying to reach.
Yep, and I think that, you know, System Center 2012 is going to get us a long way in that direction. You know, today our products are, you know, 2008 R2, so, you know, 2012 is going to be a huge leap into getting it to where, you know, the old, you know, setup dot, you know, C colon is just a thing of the past, where it's we install something and then we let operations behind the scenes balance the load across all of that.
Absolutely. It's one of those things where you just say, hey, I need a virtual environment running Windows Server 2008. I need 64 gigs of RAM, and I need, you know, these storage resources, and you just provision it that way. That's perfect. And yeah, you're right. I think, you know, despite being a Microsoft MVP, I haven't been a fan of everything, obviously, that Microsoft has done. But I really do think SCVMM 2012 really goes a long way in that direction. I think it's not just matching features that a lot of the other competitors have, but it's very forward-looking in some of the main features that it has.
Yeah, and what we've really kind of been talking about is it's more than just virtualization. It's things like that self-service portal that you mentioned, where people can go out and say, hey, I just need another server spun up, when you don't have to, you know virtualization that well. And there are some vendors out there that say, oh, if you're using virtualization, that is private cloud, and that's really not true.
Yeah, exactly. So virtualization is one portion of it. In fact, you could even come up with scenarios, maybe not as practical, that don't have anything to do with virtualization at all. Now, cloud computing has to do with virtualization in the sense of abstraction. So there's abstraction layers in there for storage, computing, network resources, all of that kind of stuff. But when we're talking about server virtualization, that's a common component in most cloud architectures, but just doing server virtualization alone is not what people would refer to as a private cloud.
Gotcha. So it's time for Anil's crystal ball. tell me
okay.
where is all this stuff going? Obviously you can't predict the future, you know, directly. There's a lot of competitors to Microsoft. There's a lot of different offerings. I mean, you hear cloud this, cloud that, cloud everything. But where is virtualization and cloud computing going to go? Let's just say 2 years from now.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I think 2 years is pretty predictable. I mean, without getting too detailed. First of all, I think the major impact that we're going to have is, without talking about specific products or specific people in the space, whoever ends up coming out on top, or even if it ends up being a situation where we have VMware, Microsoft, and even a third vendor that's probably the most popular in the space, really we're all going to use these layers of abstraction, virtualization, for the purpose of easier management. I mean, with VMs, you get encapsulation, and you get the ability to move and copy and deploy workloads very quickly and easily. So from a high level, I think what's going to happen is, overall, organizations and hopefully systems administrators as well will spend a lot less time on the actual housekeeping or the nuts and bolts of deploying an application. And they're going to spend more time on the strategic stuff, which is how it should be all along, deciding, hey, my customers would really like me to give them real-time status updates on these types of orders or something like that. Well, rather than saying, okay, we've got a team that's going to handle the servers that runs on, another team that's going to decide on the application architecture and design and all of that, all of that will be a small portion of the project, and they'll focus on really what needs to be done. How that's going to pan out as far as versions of software and features and things like that, I'm not exactly sure, but I think we're pretty much on the right track. I wouldn't see a dramatic shift from what we're seeing right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I think everybody can see what the future is, you know, short term and near range. You know, long term, that's what's really hard to pick. You know, talk about long term. I don't know if you saw last week, but Microsoft here, we released a video from our office group out at office.com/ what's it? Futures, I think, is there or
Vision? The Office Vision.
Vision. That's it. Yeah, Vision.
Yeah.
I showed that to my 11-year-old, and he has none of the baggage, right? I mean, he's grown up with email and the web all of his life, and you know, I have the baggage of the old world, and I showed him to that, and he kept watching it over and over and saying, how are they going to do that? You know, so it's all possible in the young mind like that. And we really, there's no sky to limit as to where computing can really take us.
Absolutely. It's easy to be cynical about those types of things. And really, I don't think those videos are meant to be, you know, here's the next version of Windows or whatever.
Right.
These are ideas to get they're thought experiments like you might have for things. But, you know, when this stuff gets real and also when it becomes affordable. I mean, you know, first of all, if you look at those videos, I mean, these are people that are actually getting work done. I'll settle for that, technology aside. You know, they're actually like,
But can my current phone provider give us that bandwidth today? No.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, not yet. I mean, but definitely that's the direction that we're heading in, and, you know, or that's a potential vision of the direction we're heading in. I think just like with virtualization, though, you know, there were some skeptics and doubters about all this virtualization stuff 3, 4, or 5 years ago. I think pretty much everybody agrees that if they're not going to virtualize everything, it's a very viable solution, and I think the cloud is an extension of that. You're going to see lots of high-profile outages. You're going to see lots of people that are questioning the validity of the model itself, and you're going to see a lot of marketing people make just absolutely absurd claims. But in the end, I think you're going to end up seeing a really solid technology solution. I think the number one thing will be if you and I were to sit down and design an application, we couldn't finish that conversation without at least considering the cloud. We might decide to host it ourselves or whatever. And I think that'll be a big change for within the next 2 years.
Yep. That's great. Anything else around Hyper-V or the cloud you want to add that I haven't gotten to?
Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch. I could get as technical as you want on some of this stuff, but I think for people who aren't aware of them yet, because, you know, Windows Server 8 is still in the developer preview stage, not yet a beta, but Microsoft has announced a ton of new features in Hyper-V. I'd say probably my favorite one is the fact that you can now use just standard block-based storage or standard network storage shares without going to iSCSI or Fibre Channel. That's great. I think for most of my clients or small to mid-sized businesses, they can't do a Fibre Channel SAN just to host a few VMs and things like that. Now, if you've got any kind of NAS device or anything, you should be great. So being able to get HA and disaster recovery and some of those live migration features on hardware you already have, I think that's a big key in the short term. But, yeah, I think we've covered a lot of stuff here. I can drill down if you want, or we can –
That's probably good. I don't want to take too much of your time away today, but I always get asked for my guest contact information. So first, let me give mine. If people want to email me, it's jweston or john.weston. Either one will work at microsoft.com. My blog is out there at blogs.technet.com/jweston, and I do all kinds of different technical stuff from that blog. You can find out where around Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana I'm going to be speaking. So, Anil, you want to give folks your blog site again and your contact information?
Yeah, absolutely. So my main blog and website is just anildesai.net. It's anildesai.net. And people can feel free to email me. I'd be happy to respond at just anil@anildesai.net. So that's just my primary contact information, and I do respond to, I should say, almost all my emails. So if anybody has any questions or wanted to follow up on any of this stuff, I think that'd be great.
Great. Well, I sure want to thank you for spending the time with us today on TechNet Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Great. Y'all have a great day.
All right.